One of the disciples of Jesus asks him to teach him how to pray, and so our Lord teaches the greatest of all prayers, the Our Father. St. Luke here gives the shorthand version, while St. Matthew gives the whole prayer that our Lord taught his disciples. And indeed, what is extraordinary about this prayer is that it is the first time that the human family is asked directly to address God as Father. And so, at that moment, the Lord reveals God to truly be love, because we call upon him as a Father. And so it immediately brings to mind the mission of the Son to reconcile us with God the Father. And so this prayer is the greatest of all prayers, because it is wrought with the mercy of God, and it is divided into a twofold manner. Seven petitions, some addressing love of God, others addressing love of neighbor. And so we first pray that God would be addressed by all mankind as Father, and that his name would be hallowed, that is, revered upon all the earth, and so that all may come to recognize God as Father. And what is unique here is that there is no other religion outside of the Catholic faith that formally addresses God as Father. Even the chosen people of old, save a few, did not have that insight by which they knew God was love, because God, who is one, is also a trinity of persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we can pray to him with that complete confidence that he desires one thing, the reconciliation of the human race with himself. And indeed, we know that full well, because he sent his only begotten Son in order that he may undergo his passion, death, and resurrection for our sakes. And the other part of the prayer is addressed to our neighbor, for we pray that all may be given their daily bread. And as many of the doctors and fathers point out, this means the sustenance that all mankind needs, but more precisely, it means that all may receive the Lord daily in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so it is first a call to communion, so that all mankind may come to communion and gain that strength by which they can truly overcome their sins, by recognizing in the consecrated host the very Son of God himself, who in that host fulfills his promise to be with us even to the end of time. And then we pray that God may forgive our sins as we forgive all those who have sinned against us. And finally, it beseeches God to deliver us from all evil, both personal, societal, and all evils that afflict mankind, it most especially to deliver us from the machinations of the devil and his minions. And so let us constantly have this prayer on our lips, because it speaks of God's love, of his mercy, and of his forgiveness, and our complete and total dependence upon him in order to overcome evil in every form. And so let us pray always to God, knowing that what is unique about our faith is that we truly, with our hearts, can address God as Father. And so each moment we do, we come to know more and more that God truly is love, and that he does not wish the death of the sinner, but that the sinner may be reconciled in this life with God the Father, in order that he may enjoy him for all eternity in heaven with the angels and saints. And so let us praise our good God, for no religion can claim that its master itself, that is God himself, taught them how to pray. And so, as in all things, we know for certainty that it is true when it came from the mouth of the Lord. For he was truth incarnate, and he came to deliver the message of the Father, that message that was first revealed to our parents in their fall, when God came and sought them out. That is, he did not come in their sin to crush them, but to begin that reconciliation that would culminate in the profound, most profound act of love that this world will ever see, when God became man in order that man might become God.
Christ, whom